Hello, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. My guest this evening is Solon Hinson. Solon, did I pronounce your name correctly?
It's Solon Hinson.
Solon. Okay. And Solon, you're going to talk to us about the Billy Meier case this evening.
That's correct. Yes. I was going to touch on the subject of the subconscious.
That's a deep subject.
It really is, yes. And believe it or not, today I just learned a lot more than I previously had thought that I knew.
Now, when you were looking up this information, do you remember, were you looking in contact notes?
Believe it or not, I was introduced by the Billy Meier case through an audio. Just like your radio, almost. You know how you cover a lot of stuff with the robotic voice.
Yeah.
That's actually how I was introduced to the case, and I would hear certain things, and I would go and look for it, and then I end up finding the Future of Mankind website, and after that, I, you know, on my spare time, I'll be on my phone or I'll be on my computer, and just recently, I've learned about how important it is to read it from paper, and so now I'm starting to print some of it out.
Yeah, me too. It's hard to have the discipline to do that sometimes, but it's also easier on your eyes. So.
It is, yeah, and it's also more convenient if you're in a car or if you're, you know, your places, you know. And I actually printed out the entire Goblet of Truth, which was, I think it's 300 pages.
That's a lot of stuff to print out.
It is, but you know what? That book is amazing, and I recommend it to everybody.
Now, I love that book. I quote from that book a lot, and there's so much still that I need to learn and go over in that book. It's just so filled with information.
Yeah, I try to read it at night, you know, and if I have a hard time sleeping and whatnot, I pull it out and read it. It really is awesome, and it's amazing. And apparently, I've asked a lot of people what books, you know, they recommend, and it seems like that's one of the biggest in the Meier case that Billy, or not, I don't know if I want to say Billy or maybe Fugu, but it's just kind of stressed to read it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very important.
So I own a lot of his books, actually, and that's the one that I tend to focus the most on. So
I think I need to print that out. Did it? How much? I bet that used a lot of toner, didn't it?
Well, I took it to FedEx, and
really?
Yes, and they ended up. I ended up paying for a cover, all the pages, and everything. I think it was around like $40-$45 or some. It might sound like a lot, but that's a typical book price, really. And they put binders on it and put a little so it looks like it looks kind of like a manuscript almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That's how I do it. So, you know, I was reading it off the computer, and then when I read that, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted a physical copy of all of his books anyhow, and so that was something I've done.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You've inspired me.
Awesome. I tend to do that when people are interested in things. I have like this, you know, this way about me. Actually, somebody looked up my name on the Figu group and on Facebook. I don't know if you're aware of that group that exists or not.
Oh, there's a Figu on Facebook.
It's not Figu. It's like friends of Billy Meier and Figu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I guess I shouldn't say it's Figu. Definitely gave out the wrong information there, but
that's all right.
I had somebody who had the Book of Names, which, you know, Billy Meier writes, and it's all in German. And the cool part about this is you have a lot of German people in there. And I wouldn't say a lot, but you have people in there that are both English and German.
Hmm.
And so I asked him if he would look up my name, and he found something very, very similar to my name. And it says, he wrote, "He who grows his own thought." His own might. So I was like, that's very interesting. Yeah.
That's what your name means. Solon?
Yes, Solon. Let me reread it because I might have misread it there. He who grows of his own might.
Of his own might, okay.
So I feel like, you know, I kind of have to do things on my own in a way. And then when I retranslate it using Google Translator, it said about the same thing. So he kind of put he put the actual what it said in the book on there too. So I was able to translate it through that as well. So
I think they've improved Google Translate a little because it used to be terrible.
Oh really? Well, I rarely use it, but yeah, it, You know, what's interesting is on Facebook now they have that translate button that it uses Bing, and it's kind of cool that you can kind of read what other people are saying now, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that doesn't work so well.
No, and it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But sometimes it's dead on.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
With technology, it's getting better, you know. It's the time we're in. We're in this technology grow, you know.
So tell us about the subconscious.
Okay. Before I get into this, I want to explain why I ended up getting so crazy about this topic. I kind of have like my own philosophies in life, I guess you could call it. And one of the things that got me in the belly and got me into really a lot of different things is that I said, if something is true, you can find it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always looking for, you know, what's true, what isn't, you know, even if I have to do things that just seem a little radical sometimes, you know, I'm looking for the truth. I'm looking for certain things. And I ended up kind of separating this off into two subcategories. One was depression, because it seemed like there was so much of it. And so I wanted to know what caused this, what is this? And then the other one is lust, which I honestly think this what I'm about to covers lust pretty well. And so in which lust, you know, which is interesting, the Gospel of Truth put it in the greatest term, it said desire. And that's how I really want to look at it, you know, our desires. And so in contact, what is it, 512, which was very recent. It's a very recent contact. It was in the New Year's of 2011. So, he talks about, actually, I think it's Patah, let me fact check, it is Patah, that talks about the subconscious and how we're being manipulated. I wouldn't say manipulated, but they have inserted things into the cinema films.
Really?
Yeah, and which, I mean, he goes on to say that they put pictures of food and customer goods that register into the subconscious, and then people will go out and buy them. And he goes on to say that this technology has been developed by the Secret Service, or is in the assistance of the Secret Service, where that it's also on the television set, it's in certain types of monitors. He said it's as well as the entire internet can be abused for their own purpose of this.
That they can affect
the
public's subconscious,
yes, which he calls
through the internet.
Yes, he calls it vibrational impulses, and I mean it's right here. I'm almost reading it word for word.
Wasn't there something that Facebook recently did along those lines, where they affected like all the users of Facebook in some way by, I don't know exactly how they did it.
I know that they were doing something with, like, permissions on the phone, if that's what you mean. Outside of that, I don't know if it's anything on this topic.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do know that there was, like, this big controversy with that, you know. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyhow, he goes on to say that that it extends to the religion as well as the sex, sectarians, politics, the economics. And it seems to be these, he calls them vibrational impulses that are emitted through these devices or apparatuses.
What did he say anything about the religions?
He doesn't really, he actually later on down here, it talks about how, that there's like, it steers people and it makes them like these, like religious sectarian fanatics is what he calls them, suicide bombers and terrorists.
Really?
Yes, and so I'm like, this is interesting when we're speaking about it today, because, well, even then in 2011, like, you know, this word terrorist don't seem to be going away. It only seems to be getting bigger. You know, this is before ISIS. You know, we were talking about the Taliban then, I imagine. No, wait, I don't remember the exact date of when we got rid of them or whatever, when that's what they said, the SEAL Team 9, I believe, or 6.
Oh, yeah, allegedly killed Osama.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know when that date was, but you know this word terrorist seems to be growing, and he also talks that this is also being manipulating the election. He says that the voters are getting these vibrational impulses, which seems to steer their, I don't know if you'd say steer their votes, but it's emitting these impulses.
I wonder if some of us are more vulnerable than others to that sort of thing. Because I look around me and I think, well, what is wrong with all these people? Why are they acting this way? Why can't they see through these things?
Later on during this, it actually says if you have a clear consciousness, you can see these things. You can kind of see exactly what he's talking about. And
interesting.
Yeah, I was going to give some examples. Like I say, you know, my philosophy, I have to have some type of examples in order for this to really be true to me. You know what I mean?
So are you saying that a lot of these things are affecting our subconscious?
Yeah.
The things that you're discussing. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so it is. I think it's very fascinating, this whole thing. And this is just like, this is a huge paragraph, too, actually.
Wow.
He also says that it works with food, commodities, and luxury goods. They're also doing the same thing. They're controlling the person to come to the foreground with this. I think I'm kind of overstepping it. You know, I want to stop right here where we're talking about food. I watched a documentary on I think it was called Corn is King, and it's amazing how much corn we eat. You can actually have a test done to you to find out how much corn you are, like how much corn you consume.
Hmm.
And it's very fascinating. And I live here and I actually live outside of Charlotte in the suburb of Monroe. And mm-hmm. you have cornfields all over the place. It's beautiful. It's beautiful corns, and you got soy as well. And it's amazing that they talk about this corn that we grow, we can't even eat. It actually has to be processed into some type of good.
Oh, it's terrible for you, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. See, I try not to say it's terrible. The thing is that it just lacks nutrition.
Exactly.
So that's what makes it terrible, you know what I mean? And because of that, I actually do take supplements. I'm like, I don't want to say I'm like this huge pusher, but I think it's important that everybody takes vitamins. You know, this also in the contact report talks about how much vitamin C to take, you know, the importance of zinc, just these minerals and vitamins, you know, and I've kind of done my own research with it, and I find that I have a lot of energy when I'm on this stuff, so I enjoy it.
Well, I read something that said that the micronutrients in our soil are so depleted from over farming.
That is correct. I'm actually taking, it's funny that you talk about this, I'm actually taking gardening classes, and the biggest thing they stress to us is the soil. It's always about the soil. And
good for you.
I literally walked down the street to collect somebody's leaves that they put in bags, and I brought them in my yard here, and I'm going to start composting, this will be my first year I've ever composted.
We are talking about doing that. We want to do that. We haven't got the discipline yet.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, Billy Meyer has kind of, you know, stressed this being out in nature type of thing for me, and so
sure,
it's kind of been its own impact. Now, I've always loved nature. I have chickens actually in the back of my yard, and so I actually enjoy animals outside when they have their own free will and able to just do things like they would naturally do in the wild.
Right.
And so it's kind of cool to watch kind of my chickens. I got a pretty big backyard here that they roam around in, and mm-hmm. You know, they love it. And so anyhow, I ever get on subject here. Now another thing, I was told that you're a guitar player.
Yeah, it's a rumor flying around, but it's true.
Well, I see this picture that you have your little guitar here. And it talks about this harmonic music.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, and it talks about how it has this huge masteria, or like this some type of huge, I don't know exactly what they call it, but he just says masteria.
It causes a mass hysteria.
What he says is a vibrational impulse that leads to mass hysteria.
Maybe that's why we're having riots in Ferguson and things like that.
That's exactly what he says. And he said, today there are hardly anything that is not used to influence the people subconsciously and to drive matters, action, and behaviors that are not self-determined, but are criminally determined by the thoughts and aspiration of those who gain some profit from it.
It's all about money.
You know what? That's the bottom line about this all reason why all this is taking place. It seems to be all about money.
Greed.
It's you know, and they came out with that greed devours the mind. I think that is a perfect statement for this whole thing, you know. And I watch this all the time. I watch people stress over money. I stress over money. But it's a very interesting thing, and I'm not here to say it's good or bad. I don't know, you know. It's just the world we live in right now.
Greed devours the mind.
Yes, it was a newsletter that Figu had posted.
Oh, that's interesting. I have to research that one too.
Oh, awesome! Awesome. I'm glad I'm getting you to kind of look at some of this. It was a very interesting time. Matter of fact, somebody in that group ended up showing me this, and I thought it was interesting because I had already read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it says, I'll read this last sentence. It says, very many people are to such a degree no longer capable of their own decision making. Which
now that I see all the time,
isn't it very true?
I
definitely see it all the time as well. Even when talking about a lot of the stuff that I find a lot of people are interested into it, but yet don't actually take that extra step to go and find it for themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing about all of Billy's stuff is that he talks about you're not supposed to believe any of this stuff. You need to find it on your own. It seems like is one of the biggest things he stresses.
Yep, I totally agree.
So, and that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of a huge fan of this. Later on, then Billy talks about how he asks if how can people defend against this, and he goes and talks about that you have to have a clear consciousness. And that's what is required, required, which does not allow itself to be affected by vibrational impulses of any kind. And, it's interesting because now I'm kind of like, what exactly is a clear consciousness? But I don't really have that answer. I do have something that talks about, I don't know, what would you consider that? I'm going to ask you that.
That's a very good question. I have to contemplate that for a while.
Yeah, so he talks about you need to have a clear consciousness, which, you know, the way I kind of see it is, when you look up the word conscious, it says the self-awareness is what it is. It's what consciousness is, or I don't know if I'd say consciousness, but that was what the definition was. So when I think of a clear conscious, that you just kind of have this clear awareness of what's going on inside you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I kind of figured that maybe now I imagine that he talks about some of this stuff, especially in a lot of his books. He goes into great details about a lot of this stuff, and I just haven't got a grasp on it. But I can just tell that whenever I'll go into some of the examples of how I know that some of this is true. I don't watch television. I remember listening to a podcast where you said you rarely watch television as well.
Haven't watched TV in about a year.
Wow. I don't really care to watch it, but sometimes when you're around certain people, like, you have to watch it, you know. It's just not something that you can avoid, and for me anyhow. Maybe
right.
You're better off. And there's certain people I like to talk to, and they want to watch television, and I realize just how big and important it is in some people's lives to let them watch it if that's what they want to watch. I see that it causes me a lot of misery to try to stop them now, so... So I have to watch. Sometimes I have to watch commercial if I want to have a, because I'm a very social person. If I want to have a conversation with people, I tend to wait for the commercials and then I socialize with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, because there's some really awesome people and they're just interested in television. It's just what it is. And I was watching a commercial about a cigarette, and I cannot stand the smell of cigarettes. The last cigarette I smoked made me want to puke, which was a long time ago. And I saw this commercial about a cigarette, and I tell you what, I had thoughts of going out and buying a cigarette.
Did you?
Yes, I could see myself smoking it. It was just very interesting. I had to come back, and I had to kind of look at this thought, and I said, wait, this is not something I want. And I wonder if that's what it means to be a clear consciousness, to kind of look at what just took place.
That's a good idea. I mean, that's a good point. It always says to... examine your own thoughts and clarify your own thoughts. So
yes, one thing that I like that I heard come from your podcast was that your mind is a garden and that you need to weed out the weeds. And,
right? yeah. And that's from The Might of Thoughts, the book,
okay.
The Might of the Thoughts. Yeah.
Well, I really enjoy your podcast. I have to put that out. I wanted to say that before I got into all this, actually. I really do enjoy your podcast.
Well, thank you, Solon. I appreciate that.
A lot of great
that.
Things in there, and I wish everybody would listen to it. And I've actually told quite a few people about this interview.
Awesome. Well, I'll try to get it posted, hopefully, even maybe tonight, if Blog Talk will come back from the grave.
Okay. Back from the grave.
I can't even get a page to load on it. They must be getting slammed. They have a lot of
They have a lot of traffic. It's
yeah, they do.
Website. So. You know, I figured you. I was told you're an IT guy. I was listening to an interview someone gave to you.
Yeah.
IT guy. So I figured, that you knew all about a lot of that stuff, and I'm sure.
It's such a big field. There's so much to know.
Look, I'm also actually in the IT field myself.
Excellent.
So I know exactly what you're talking about. So when I see that, I don't know exactly what you do. I've heard you say a couple things, but anyhow, I'm going to jump back to this. Billy goes in and talks about how he sees with the whole politicians and why so many of the wrong people end up in the government. And he also talks about why people. He also talks about that the mass ends up going like what he called that hysteria. Going into purchase frenzies and buying unnecessary things. Then he also goes to talk about why he can see why humans still cry for the death penalty, wants to endorse wars, and as well as commit terror and suicide attacks, etc. He's able to see some stuff that maybe I can't see. I just recently learned about the way that they see. The death penalty and all. If you've got into that at all on your show or not.
I don't think I've ever mentioned it, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It seems, what's very interesting that we use the word humane.
Right.
And I would say that maybe that's what they're going with there. But it got me when they started talking about overpopulation. And they said that it's not very humane to feed all these people who are starving, and then they procreate. It doesn't say they procreate, but that's what I'm going to add. Then they procreate, and it just becomes this big mess that we have today.
Exactly.
I'm really glad that you covered that, and I want to say thank you for bringing Frosty on. That guy is amazing.
Isn't he amazing? A lot of folks don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that. And matter of fact, that's kind of some of the questions I ask people when I first meet them. I say, hey, what do you think about overpopulation? And there's a lot of different theories about it. It's kind of an interesting question in and of itself.
It is. And usually you don't make a lot of friends when you start talking about overpopulation.
No. Well, what's interesting is that I'm not going to get into that. I won't get into all of it. He talks about. All right, let's see.
For that matter, you don't make a lot of friends when you talk about the Billy Meyer case either.
You really don't. You can't come out and just talk about it. But what I do is just like what I'm doing with you right now with the subconscious. I like to talk about what he says. And just have other people give me their feedback, and that's actually the way I love the world in general, because that creates this intelligent conversation as well as this thinking about it, which I think is the most important part.
Absolutely.
So, that's my take on it. I will say this at the end of this whole thing, he talks about and if everything continues in this framework mentioned, then an uncontrollable anarchy and roaring of chaos will ultimately develop.
From what? From the exposure that we get to all this media?
This whole thing he talked about how we're committing all these wars and terrors that so many human are crying for or wanting the death penalties and wars and suicide attacks. And it's not like I'm making this up. I mean, I know a lot of people who are talking about they want to bomb Syria for ISIS. I mean, it's not like I'm making this up that people want to go to war, but yet they don't see that as a war. They see it as like, I guess, some type of retaliation.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know if they realize that they're killing innocent. We're killing innocent people, and we're not even getting rid of ISIS. In my opinion,
no.
I haven't heard anything about getting rid of them. I know that they're actually getting bigger.
And I think ISIS is in part funded by certain entities in the West that want to keep things stirred up.
Yeah. I there's definitely this thing for war. It's a huge thing. You know, it's money. It's about profit. This whole thing that seems to be the problem is about profit in and of itself. And it just
wise words, very wise.
Do what?
That's a very wise words you just stated.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment then. Even though that's just how I see it. It definitely talks about that consequently there is riots. Consequently, it is that there are no longer that destructive riots. Okay. He just talks, a lot of this is just talking about him being disharmonic. And this said there's going to be more acts of gabout. I don't know if you know what gabout is. Apparently, it's like, you know what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll explain it because it's a word I kind of enjoy. I use it actually in my fantasy football right now because that's how I feel about football, which is like it's a war. It actually means violence. But Billy doesn't want to translate it into violence because it seems that also it also has another meaning of like degeneracy. Where it's degenerate, if I can say the word correctly, as well as it's promoting more. That's pretty much. I kind of went through that pretty quick because
It goes faster sometimes than you would think, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, I wanted to cover a lot of it without just simply reading a lot of it, because if anybody's really interested in this, all this information is free online.
What contact report is
this
that?
This is Contact Report 512, and if anybody wants to know the website, it's futureofmankind.co.uk, and you go there and you just type in Contact Report 512, and there it is. It's part two. Now, part one, he goes in to talk about some type of calculations, which I actually haven't completely read all the way through. So, that's that. And I also wanted to cover some other stuff on this topic.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. I typed in a lot of things to search for the subconscious, and a lot of things came up, maybe not everything. And I just recently learned that the introduction to, now I don't know if this is exactly true, but I have a lot of reference to it, that when we start talking about the introductions to the spiritual teachings, and it started using the word spirit. Like, I don't know if you've ever read Contact 10 or not.
Oh yeah.
And Contact 10 is beautiful.
It's awesome.
I think it should be kind of be required, but I've learned that when they should be required to learn. I'm sorry, I didn't complete this. It talks about the word spirit, and apparently that word is supposed to be conscious and not the actual spirit that we think of we got creation and then your spirit is not, they say it's not connected to the creation, but it's outside of it, but you can fact check with creation, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't quote me on any of that stuff. I'm still trying to learn and understand what spirit is. I have a friend, Wade, who, we kind of go at each other. I wouldn't say go at each other, but I'm trying to learn from him. And he talks about that, and I just had another friend literally send me this link that talked about that we didn't have the word consciousness yet, so we used the word spirit. And apparently, I don't know if that's interchangeable or not. I'm just bringing that to your awareness. I don't. It messes me up because, it talks about the spirit, but then in another sense, it talks about, that the spirit, it doesn't have these particular things. And I don't know. I'm reading right here. It says, in old times, there was only one expression for the material consciousness block and the spiritual consciousness block, which is the spirit form of the human being. And it expresses, and this expression was spirit.
A book you'd enjoy is The Psyche.
Yeah, I have all this book. I have The Psyche, I have The Might of Thought, I have and They Still Fly. Matter of fact, I think if you're really interested in the Billy Meyer case and you just don't know anything about any of this stuff, and the website can be overwhelming, I honestly recommend And They Still Fly by Guido.
Guido Musburger.
Thank you. Well, I didn't want to bully his last name, but yes. And he just recently died a year ago, I think.
I know.
And he was a very amazing person. And, you know, reading his book was something else. And then I watched some interviews about him. And, you know, he just was a very cool guy. I kind of wish I could have met him.
Did you ever see the apple that he had? Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, he said it was preserved for so long. And apparently they, from what I understand, they have like these gardens or something. Now, my problem with a lot of this information that I have is some of it came from Randy Winters.
Well, sure. Yeah, I listened to Randy for years.
Well, I don't trust Randy Winters because he did start falsifying a lot of the stuff. He started telling lies, for lack of a better word. And some of his stuff that I hear, I'm always like skeptical whether to repeat it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So some of this kind of comes from him. And he talks about that that they have gardens on their ship, and apparently that's maybe where the apple came from. Now I'm not exactly sure if that was the apple that he got it from. I just know that he had an interview where he talked about that that he had an apple that was like, I don't know, I think it was like 50 years old at that time, or maybe it was, no, it couldn't have been 50 years old. Maybe it was 20 or 30, but it looked like it had just been picked.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big apple. No, it wasn't, you know. And what got me, the first thing he saw when I saw that apple, I was like, I want to get the seeds. I want to get the seeds to plant that. But now that I've gotten so into gardening and all, I realize that, you know, we don't know the pH of the soil. We don't know the sunlight. Well, I imagine it needs at least 6 hours of sun. Most trees do, but there's a lot of conditions that we don't know about how they grew it. Now, it could be just like a regular apple tree, but there's so many variety of apples that, you know, you have to wonder if we were to plant the seeds from this apple, if we would get the same exact apple.
That's a good point.
And so, I study a lot about plants. I find them to be very fascinating, and my favorite thing is trees. I think that, I was always told to respect my elders. And I always found trees to be the oldest people here. You know,
that's great. That's great.
So I think that, you know, they should be respected, and they're not. You know, when I drive past a place and they just clear this entire field of trees, you know, everybody feels this. I feel, you know, that it's just like, oh man, you know, like things are getting bigger, and the trees are gone. You know, and all of a sudden there's this change that's taken place with the forest and all that, you know, inside me, it just hurts to just see, you know, these woods to disappear.
I totally agree with you so much.
So, you know, I think it's sad. And that's why I think the overpopulation problem is the biggest problem we face here on Earth.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I agree with you.
Well, I mean, it's the truth, you know, and a lot of people who study the Billy Meyer stuff, like, they'll tell you, you know, you know, they made me very aware that, you know, this economic thing that we're in, you know, having a lot of people is kind of what's straining a lot of this whole thing. And, you know, it's interesting because what we call the elite, they seem to be very hungry for money. And having more people, it, you know, means that more and more people are going to be buying, you know.
Right.
And that's this whole other issue, which Frosty covered perfectly. I mean, he filled in all the little gaps inside me.
Well, I'm going to have him on plenty more times, so don't worry.
All right, awesome. He's a great guy. All right, so I'm going to go back to talking about Billy talks about the thoughts about neutrality in everyday life. Now, they talk about, I'm sure you're aware of, that this neutral positive is what, from what I've been told, is what they're calling it.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing things. And in there it talks about the subconscious, and it says all people more or less have events, pictures, occurrences, observation and experiences, etc., stored in their subconscious and in memory, which do not correspond to the respective reality, and therefore self created distortion, projection or distorted projections, presumptions, and wrong interpretation, which reach into the inner being. The impulses from the subconscious are shaped accordingly. These impulses must be registered and neutralized, because only in this way one succeeds in making precisions in order to obtain from its learning, knowledge, awareness, experience, and wisdom. So anyhow, a lot of that just kind of rumbled on. It talks about how, now I kind of had to do a lot of research, and some of this is word of mouth, but I just want to discuss some of this, how I kind of see it, if that's fine with you.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess it's kind of how this works, right? I'm like all over the place right now. It's hard for me to stick to a subject because every subject leads into a question that I'm always interested in another person interacting with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I share stuff. It's the interaction to me is we don't have a lot of it in today's world. A lot of people are very defensive, which is the next part, actually. It says many people have a tendency to face new, unknown, foreign things skeptically with bias, super critical, and quite often full of distrust.
Yes.
Which is exactly what's taking place. So I can't just walk up to people. I've even found that I can't even wave to certain females because they automatically assume something. And
sure.
You can't even be nice today. I wouldn't say not be nice, but you can't approach people in certain ways.
Right.
And I learned this really fast with when I go out, I take my sister out to lunch every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting. I could be by myself. Girls, they, you know, and I'm not picking on any of them because, I've talked to some of them and it seems like they do this out of self-defense, which, you know, I guess I can't blame them when you live in when you live in a world that's so overpopulated that, you know, there's so many people, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of its own subject for me as well. When I was with my sister, these girls were very interested in talking to me. I ended up meeting somebody who was working in she was going to school for nutrition, and so I started talking to her about vitamins. And it was awesome that she was very interested in that. But I kind of wish she would go outside of the school as well, because I think that we don't label enough. We need more vitamins than what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's just from what I've learned. And so that's just kind of something I've learned, just interacting with people. It's kind of a hard thing. And so I value relationships with people, I guess you could call it. Like, you know, with you, man, this is awesome.
Well, I appreciate having you on the show. I do think people nowadays tend to, I don't know what it is, they don't put the value on human relationships that they should. And another thing is people, they always, see, I value unity over trying to prove myself correct on a point. So I would rather be just quiet if I thought I was going to harm a friendship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I can understand. Yeah, I can.
Yeah.
I can so understand that. I don't have really much to say about that, though. I do think that it's always good to be honest.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You want to be honest, but there's this fine line you have to walk sometimes.
There really is. But, I don't know. You know, the only thing I can say is that, you're right, there is a fine line, a very fine line. From what I understand about what I just read, which sucks because that was like, what, 5 minutes ago or something now? we apparently whenever we're born, and I think you've even covered this, that we all of the wisdom and stuff we have accumulated from all of our past lives are put in our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it very interesting that when this line said it was stored in the subconscious and in memory, it talked about both the, you know, what we all had already possessed in later times and what we currently face.
So, can you elaborate on that exactly?
On what part? So, in this life, we have what's stored into what our memory banks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can kind of understand this because of like things like lobotomy and whatnot, where they can go in there and have like the shock therapy, and they can. Now I'm just using this as a prime as an example. I don't actually have any proof of this, but maybe it's not a good idea to say that. Then maybe I don't know. Maybe that's where we should leave it then. So I don't want to give off any disinformation. But, you know, the way I would take it is that, we have our subconscious and then we have this memory, which I am saying that the subconscious itself has a memory in it, which we're born with, you know, we keep, you know, that and because in Contact 10, from the way I understand it, it talks about, let me pull it up real quick, that it talks about the human is a bearer of a spirit which does not die, which also never sleeps during the deepest sleep of the human being, which records all thoughts and motion, which tells the human being whether his or her thoughts are right or wrong once he has learned to pay attention to it. And it seems to be that these impulses must come from. This is the part I don't really understand. And somebody's telling me the subconscious, and I have another person telling me that we're supposed to train our own subconscious. And so that whole statement it's so very confusing. And
what was said in the contact note is confusing.
Yes, because it says the human is a bearer of a spirit which does not die, and then it goes on and talks about that it records all thoughts and motions. But from what I understand, the unconscious picks up everything, and then it relays it either back to the subconscious, or sometimes you're conscious of it, which comes to your consciousness. Does that make sense? I was reading on the figure forms, and they were talking about this.
Right.
And so it throws me off. And then when it talks about the spirit, which from what my understanding is that I can't say we don't have a contact with it since we are of it, but I don't know if it has a thinking involved to it. It just seems like go ahead.
Spirit.
You probably know a little bit more than me on this regard.
There's two aspects. There's a material consciousness.
Yes.
Which we have a psyche, and the psyche controls the thoughts and feelings of the material consciousness. And we also have something called the Gemut, which is in the spiritual body, and it regulates the thoughts and feelings associated with the spirit.
Yeah. You probably know a little bit more than me. I probably shouldn't have got on here and started confusing myself even more. So you know what? We're going to skip that. And I'm going to say that it's fascinating that the fact that it says that we store all this and that we have impulses and that we should regulate it. I shouldn't say regulate, but it says we should neutralize it. So I guess having this way of being able to just think, which I kind of think is like important that everyone has. And it's even stated in the Gobbler of Truth about the importance of having your alone time.
Well, that is a profound statement.
You think so?
Oh, I think so. And now, the reason I say that is because I've often wondered why that I drive 2 hours a day, and I'm starting to see that is my time where I think.
Yeah.
That is so important. Interesting. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. I welcome it. Actually, I welcome it because. You know.
I think I've learned more about the Meyer material commuting than I have any other way.
Yeah. Do you listen to it like in your car, or do you just?
I listen to it in my car. I think about it. Sometimes I'll even say things out loud. And what's interesting is I start learning, which is even more bizarre. It's like I'm clarifying my thoughts by repeating them over, and it takes all the confusion and the uncertainty out. So I recommend everyone does that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very important that you know you think for yourself in a way. You know, like there's a difference between what they call beliefs and knowing the facts. You know, and there's this. I think it's very very important that it was something that I was listening to someone talk about how if the Pajaran were to give us, and I don't know if I read this or if I heard this, but if the Pajaran were to give us what, now that I guess everyone knows who the Pajarans are, the Palladians, or who Billy's in contact with, this race of people, they said if they were to give us all the knowledge of technology and the spirit, they said that we would just take it in, that we would never learn on our own. And it was way more important that we learned it to be true for ourselves, that we experienced the truth for itself. And the example I always give about this is that when you're a little kid and someone goes, hey, that fire is hot. If you touch it, you're going to get burned. And a little kid's like, what is burned and what's hot? Maybe my hot is, but what is burned? And so they touch it, boom, they're probably not going to do that ever again.
They're never going to forget what burn means, right? That's a great analogy. I love it.
It was. And I also have another piece that I've added on to that, this neutral thinking. If you automatically see fire as negative all of a sudden, then you're going to say, we need to get rid of all fire. We should not allow this on Earth. We should, you know, yada, 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 which sounds insane right now. It's just an example. And so if you have this neutral way of seeing what fire can actually do, when you're outside and it's cold and you're in a barrel or you're near a fire, all of a sudden fire is the greatest thing ever invented.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think it's very important that we see both sides, or not even see both sides, but we stay neutral so we can see everything for what it is.
That's a good analogy.
I'm glad you said
that. I like that. That's very well said. Very well said.
Came up with that. See, the thinking on your own, you know, I came up with a lot of this stuff.
See, and everyone needs to take the time to do that.
Yeah, I totally.
Because they will also come up with things like this. And maybe that's why we shouldn't watch so much TV, because it takes away from our time to think for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this, and you know, I put my efforts in a lot of things that I think that probably shouldn't be, but you know, whatever we do, we always end up thinking the most about. You know, so if we're watching television shows, I find a lot of people like to talk about television when they watch television.
Yeah.
And you know, I play video games. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I play video games every once in a while, and I find that I like talking about video games with people. You know, and then when I'm reading this stuff, I have people I like to talk, you know, talk to with Billy Meyer, though that's a smaller circle.
Yeah,
it's still there, you know, and so it's, you know, I'm always grateful. And then I also have people that I love to talk about with plants with. So
yeah.
I have a huge social circle, and I think that's what it is to be human, is to be very social. I think we're very social creatures, and you know, technology has made it where, and if it is true what technology is saying about that reading paper has this energy or this fluid energy to it, that's very important, that has some type of connection with you when you read it from a sheet of paper, you know, technology. And I kind of getting off subject here, but there's another contact report that talks about a lot of this stuff, and it talks about that when we read something from a device, it actually shrinks our minds or our intelligence in a way. And
it does.
Yeah, well, because whenever we cut it off, we no longer have a connection, and it seems to... I'd prefer that you read this instead of getting a secondhand. I don't like talking about Billy's secondhand, to be honest with you, because you're getting it from a third party, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like to talk about things like that in front of me. But he does talk about how it shrinks. I wouldn't say maybe it shrinks the brain, which is illogical, but I would say that it makes you dumber. He also talks about that it makes you lazier.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that, and I will send that to you if you're interested, because that was one of the things I thought was very interesting in itself.
I will start printing more things out.
Well, I don't mean to cause a fear or whatnot, but there's actually been scientific studies now with this.
I don't doubt that at all.
They talk about we should cut off our devices more often. That was actually the title of it, and I didn't actually get to read the rest of it. But you know, this Figu friends, I mean, it's awesome. Friends of Billy Meyer and Figu, there's so many awesome people on there, and some of these people you can tell aren't just they don't they kind of know their stuff, but there's some people I really admire on this you know, this group.
Exactly.
You know, they don't just read this stuff. They're practicing it, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's not like it shouldn't be a cold or whatever, but they're just being real human beings, in my opinion.
Well said, indeed.
Okay, and the last thing I'm going to touch or talk upon, you know, gosh, man, this is it. We're coming up here. All right. There's a content report that hasn't been translated, and so I want to make sure that everyone gets to hear this. Randy Winters talks about this, and it was Contact Report 36.
Okay.
It was on August 20th of 1975. Sam Yossi took Billy into one of her ships, and Billy was able to see into the subconscious of somebody. And during this now everything that I have a piece of paper where a guy has the books that he can read German, and he gave me a small translation. But there's a lot of stuff that he that Winter said that the guy didn't put in there. He just kind of gave me like a synopsis, I guess you could call it.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, it states that they're able to see every human being's subconscious, and it comes up as symbols. And so Billy was able to see the symbols. He recognized the symbols, and he was able to Sam Yossi let him do it, and he was able to see the symbols on a screen. And they said that the subconscious of every human being knows exactly what is going on or is going to happen. And so he was looking at a somebody, it was in France, and this guy was dying. And this guy, his material thinking, which was burdened by illogical and unreason, as well as other flaws, he was able to kind of see that's what was taking place in his consciousness. But his subconscious was very aware of what was going on, and it knew that it was going to die, and it was at peace with it. But the guy himself was scared. He was very scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he was going to die, and you know, and that just shows that there was just two different things that take place. That you know that the subconscious kind of knows that the from what Winters was saying, that it's more connected to creation than we are, for that sense. And it talks about that it kind of knows that that this death was not a big deal. It's something that takes place, that we all go through it, which is kind of interesting, because if you think about it, we all know we're going to die.
Right.
And but yet we make this big deal about it.
Exactly.
And so he wasn't allowed to publish the date of when this guy was going to die, but of course, it's he's already dead. I don't remember the guy's name. They told me in the
group. Was it General Francisco?
That's it, Francisco.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. I guess I was actually reading it as France, but it is Francisco. You're right. So I thought that was very interesting that that they were actually able to see our subconscious. So, as well as. And what Randy said, that it actually knows 3 days in advance of what's going to happen.
Now that's interesting.
It is. And he says that I'm going to share something with you. I say that I have good luck. That certain things just work out for me. And I sometimes don't understand it, but I also, I will say that when I just read in Contact 10 that we can, if we learn to listen, we know what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes we know when we're not supposed to go somewhere, or going somewhere is fine, and that we're just too scared to do it. And sometimes I just say, you know what, I'm going to do it, or I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it does kind of make you, even though there's no such thing as luck, but I do think that it makes you lucky. Even though it's not really luck, you're just paying attention. And that's just where I'll go with that. You know, I think that people should, you know, that people are... People have more, people have more luck than they think. I don't know how to explain it, but that's just where I'll leave that. So,
interesting.
So that's what I have on the subconscious. A lot of that is, some of this is my theories, which is what I just told you about, with the whole being lucky. I think that you've ever been in a situation or something where you just known that something you shouldn't be doing it.
You shouldn't be doing it?
Shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, sure, of course.
And sometimes you can feel it. It you just know, and you can feel in something you shouldn't be doing. And some people go against this feeling. And some of my friends who are very aware. I'll share them and say, hey, we need to walk across the road. This is a real example. I was with a friend and I said, hey, we need to walk across the road. I said, hey, let's walk across the road. And I just got that impulse. I just need to walk across the road, which I actually told him I need to get to the gas station. And he didn't want to walk across the road. So we got in my car. I got in my car. I forgot to turn my lights on because we were literally just crossing the street, and I get pulled over by a cop. And they gave me a ticket for, I think, my tent or something, and I was just like, it is what it is. But I've also been walking in the road, and I pointed out a snake one time. I said, hey, there's a snake, and it was pitch black. Couldn't even tell you how I knew there was a snake right there. And I was like, hey, let's make sure it was a snake. And I cut on the lights, and this little baby snake's looking at me. And I said, I poured a little bit of water on it to make sure it wasn't dead, and the thing started moving. And I was like, I still to this day can't explain some of these phenomena that take place. It's just like you just kind of know things.
The material consciousness has some abilities that we're not real familiar with yet.
No, we're not. And I'm actually, I'm just giving you some examples. Maybe some of this stuff can be logically explained, which apparently everything can be.
Solon, I'm going to hit this.
Yeah, I know we're done.
I'm going to hit the stop on the recording, and we can stay connected.